Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can browse through recent podcasts according to show, or you can sort by companies discussed, even by the name of the guests? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
It's a perfect time to talk to Mohammed Alarian of PIMCO. Dr. Alarian, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Mohammed, you look at Europe and the quiet of August. I don't buy it. I think there's a backstory right now in Europe. What is it?
There are three backstories. And let me just say, Tom, it's nice I've had a quiet week after all the excitement that Europe has imposed on the markets. So what are the three things that we in general, and particularly our European team, is looking at? First and foremost, how will Spain and Italy respond to the offer of the ECB? And the offer of the ECB is, hey guys, go submit a request for funds under the EFSF and we will help you. So it's important to keep an eye on whether Italy and Spain will do and how they do it, because it's not clear that there's an easy way to do this. Second, Greece. Keep an eye on Greece. There are very difficult negotiations. They involve the possibility of the public sector taking a haircut. So this is not easy. And finally, keep an eye on private capital. Does private capital continue to exit the weak economy? We were stunned, Tom, by the number coming out of Switzerland that show you that in July alone, their reserves went up by 10% of GDP, over 400 billion.
Thank you so
much. 10% of GDP in 1 month.
This is the distortions that are out there. I was speaking with our Dave Litka, head of our foreign exchange team worldwide. And you look, Mohammed, at the continued flight to quality, and you look at bonds, you look at the German bond and all that. Do you still buy them? I mean, what is the catalyst to stay long this massive flight to quality?
You don't necessarily buy, you know, German bonds, and in particular short-dated German bonds. But what you do buy is what Bill has called the cleanest dirty shirt. And there's lots of them in the emerging world where interest rates continue to converge lower. The key issue is to keep an eye on what private capital is doing in Europe. And as long as private capital exits rather than gets crowded in by ECB actions, Europe will remain a question mark.
Well, wouldn't the question, Mohammed, be why isn't more private capital flowing out of Europe?
Ken, you know, it's one of these things. We saw it in Argentina in 2001. I remember in Argentina 2001, people asking, why isn't it happening faster? Why isn't it happening faster? And what you find out is that private capital, it tends to be nonlinear. There's lots of transactions costs. That's what's called shoe leather costs, meaning you actually have to do something about it. So it trickles out to begin with, then you get, you know, a walk out, and then you get a jog out, and then you get a sprint out. So keep an eye on it. So far, fortunately, it hasn't been a sprint out of Europe, but it has been a consistent walk or jog.
So as you reminded us recently, if you see a line in front of your bank, get in it.
That's right. And if your money is not at that bank, get in the line in front of your bank. Yeah.
When you look, Mohammed, at the swirl out there, we turn it. You've been writing as well on America as well. Ken and I are both taken aback by some of the, not grim, but very tepid new normal views for 2013, clearly reaffirming what PIMCO's been talking about. What do the optimists get wrong? Those that are looking for a return to substantial nominal GDP, what do they get wrong right now?
I think the fundamental issue is whether you believe we live in a cyclical world or whether you believe we live in a secular and structural world. So back in 2009, when PIMCO came out with this view that the economy would not reset quickly, that growth would remain sluggish and unemployment would remain unusually high, our view was that this was not a cyclical process, but this was a secular and structural process because of the leverage issue, because of the debt overhang issue. So fundamentally, it comes down to whether you live in a cyclical world or whether you live in a secular and structural world. If you live in the former, you always are looking for mean reversion and you're always looking for GDP to come back quickly. If you live in the latter, you opt for a gradual healing of the U.S. economy, not an instantaneous healing.
Mohammed, I need to bring this up, and it's, of course, been out in the news. Arsama El-Wardani writing it up out of Cairo, July 23rd. You have stated publicly you would not accept public service for Egypt. Let's expand on this, if we could, but give us an update on the new in Egypt. Is it a legitimate new page for the Egyptian people?
Oh, it's absolutely a legitimate new page. And Egypt is in this tricky transition that every revolution faces, from dismantling the past to building a new future. And in a funny sort of way, dismantling the past is easier. When you come to building a new future, you need institutions, you need leaders, you need buy-in from the population. And Egypt is gradually putting this in place, but it's doing it in a very gradual manner and in a very noisy manner.
What support do they need from the United States of America, from Washington?
First and foremost, understanding that this is a historic process, it's a multi-year process, that there is no killer app to make it happen overnight. And secondly, they will need financial support. You know, Egypt has gotten hit by a sharp decline in tourism, by a sharp decline in production, and by very high expectations that the revolution will deliver a better outcome economically and socially. So Egypt will need external help, and they are already talking about negotiating with the IMF.
Mohammed, this is a different Bundesbank than you and I studied a few years ago. What is it about the new Bundesbank of Weidmann that gets your attention?
Couple of things. One is that I think that they're trying to strike this very tricky balance between their historical commitment to being a monetary institution and quasi-fiscal operation, which is another way of saying buying the bonds issued by governments.
Well, the idea, Mohammed, you're Quentin Peel writing it up in the FT on Weidmann and the Bundesbank, I thought it was great. In search wistfully of what Konrad Adenauer knew, decades and decades ago, a lifetime ago. That Germany's gone, isn't it?
That Germany has to make a decision. It has to make a decision as to whether it wants to treat the rest of Europe the same way West Germany treated East Germany. And that's the historical precedent. When reunification came up, it made no economic sense to reunify at the exchange rate of 1-to-1 between East and West. And yet, that was the decision taken based on political consideration, and the Germans are still paying for it today. So that's one model. And Germany becomes European. The other model is that Europe becomes more like Germany. And that is what is being debated day in and day out in Europe today.
Well, is that really going to happen? I mean, you'd think they have the model of Germany, which went through a certain amount of pain several years ago to become the strongest economy in Europe. But is it possible that Greece and Italy and the rest will follow the German model?
So if you solve it as an engineer, Ken, and I stress an engineer as opposed to a politician or sociologist, but if you solve it as an engineer, you would reformulate the Eurozone into something that is less imperfect, smaller, and therefore more likely to converge. Okay, so the engineering solution takes you a certain direction. The political solution, the political considerations complicate that journey enormously, and that's what Europe has been going through for the last 2.5 years.
Here in the U.S., Mohammed, we've had a fair amount of interest in a story we had earlier this week about the possibility of 10-year treasuries going down to 1%. Of course, since then, they've gone up to 1.7%. But what's the view from PEMCO?
So we would align ourselves with a guest that Tom had earlier, Jim Bianco. And I thought his comments on the bond market were absolutely right. The bond market is trying right now to reflect many things. The fact that the Fed is anchored with rates floored at zero, at least till the end of 2014, perhaps even beyond. The fact that we continue, as we talked earlier, to have capital coming out of Europe, and some of it comes into the US, and we still have a sluggish economy. This is a 1.5 to 2% economy. So all that tends to anchor the 10-year in a range bound is where we were. What we would caution is rather the level of the rates, the shape of the curve. Be careful of a steepening yield curve. That is the major risk.
A steepening yield curve where you see, the 5 and the 7 year grind even lower and 10, 30 years go out higher yields?
Correct. Where you see up to the 7, maybe 8 year area anchored pretty well by the front end, but the longer end, especially the long end, is exposed to a lot more risk.
Let's leave it there, Mohammed Alarian. Thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.